It's been great fun experiencing the cafe church. I think it's, for me, it's the first time I've actually been in one. And it's posed some great theological challenges to me. Because I delighted when I saw the croissants and the butter and the tea, and I rather went to town on it and sat down and started on my breakfast, and then everyone stood up and started singing, "How great thou art." And I thought, oh gosh, am I being rebellious or sinful? What should I do? But the Lord and I worked on it together, and I decided to bite the croissant at the end of the verses and take a sip of the tea every two lines. So I got through it. Love. Society's got quite a warped view of the concept of love in many ways. So I thought, to get my head around what society thought about love, I would go into Google and type in love. I know it's extremely dangerous. I don't advise you to do this at home. So I typed in love, and all sorts of things appeared on my screen. And I just picked a couple for you. There was 120 million hits for love. So if you press Google on love, you get 120 million options. I didn't look at all of those. But here were some examples that I did find that struck me interesting. ilovedogs.com, which I thought was quite nice. And then, of course, you've got the alternative, ilovecats.com. Although, on looking at that, it seemed to be a plea to spay or neuter your cat, so I wasn't so sure about that one. ilovecheese.com, which is good. ilovelucy.com. We love the Iraqi Information Minister.com. lovetest.com, matchmaker.com, and thelovecalculator.com. Well, I thought, I'm going to press that one. So I pressed the love calculator. Yes, I did. On this side, I don't know if we've got a slide to come up in a second, but on this slide, you type in your name. You type in your name and the person you fancy. Or in my case, the person I fancied and married. And it gives you the odds of your relationship lasting. So that's what happened. These are the results of the calculations by Dr. Love. Bob and Jane, 44%. And then it gives you an explanation. It's sort of, yeah. This is what it said about, I haven't showed Jane this. It says, the chance of a relationship working out between Bob and Jane is not very big. But a relationship is very well possible if the two of you really want it to work and are prepared to make some sacrifices for it. You'll have to spend a lot of quality time together. You must be aware of the fact that this relationship might not work out at all, no matter how much time you to invest in it. So it's interesting, actually. On all these sites, there's a similar thing, that love is seen purely as a human endeavour. It's purely a human endeavour. Now, Jane and I, we've got, maybe it would have been 44%, I don't know, without Jesus. But when we got married, Jesus is in that equation as well. And on the 4th of June this year, we'll be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. So Jesus makes a difference. See, this agape love that's been spoken about in the passage from Corinthians about love, it's a love not that starts within me and within you. It's a love that starts within God. And that makes all the difference in the world. It starts with God and his love flowing out through us to others. Now, without Jesus demonstrating what this love is like, we actually wouldn't have any idea what that agape love of God looks like. It says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Now, last week, I think with Graham, you had a look at that wonderful list showing us what love is, some qualities of love. I don't know, can we... Would it be possible to put up 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7? I'll read it. Don't worry if you can't. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love. In each case, actually, we could take that word love out, and instead, we could put in the word Jesus, and you'd have a perfect fit, wouldn't you? You'd have a perfect fit. The challenge comes when I take out the word love, I take out the word Jesus, and I try putting the word Bob in there. Bob is patient. You see, I'm stuffed on the first one. It's a real challenge. So, let's give it a go. Let's have a go at the loveometer this morning. Now, I've got some sheets that Hannah's going to come and put on the tables. And what it is it's the Bible Love Calculator. So what you need to do, it's out of 15, okay? So if you get 16, then you've got problems with the truthfulness, errors of truthfulness and stuff like that, okay? Because there are only 15. So you can't give yourself... you'll fail on humility, wouldn't you, if you gave yourself 16 out of 15. It's out of 15, 15 qualities of love. And what you've got to do is you've got to honestly have a think about it and go down the list and tick the ones out of those 15 that you think, honestly, on a half-decent day, describe you. Okay? So go down the list. And tick the ones that you think, yep, that's me. I can do that one. I am that one. Perhaps even other people would recognize that one in me. Okay, has everyone played tick? Has everyone ticked the love calculator? So, has anyone suffering from pride or delusions of grandeur got 15 in front of them? We better, because we can come around and pray for you right now. You're scraping the barrel when you sort of put a tick and then put half next to it because you're trying to bump your numbers up. I think I've got 4.5 on my one. So I'm falling a bit short of where I think Jesus would have me be. So what do we do about that? Well, I tell you what. Can you now, of the ones that you haven't ticked, can you ring one that you think is the most challenging for you at this time? Can you ring one that you think is the most challenging for you? I know they're all challenging and it's not an exact science. There's no right or wrong answers, and don't just look at the person next door and what they've done and cheat. Okay, has everyone sort of ringed one? For me, I've ringed Love Keeps No Record of Wrongs. I'm finding that challenging at the moment. And you'll each have one that you've ringed, and you'll have your own reasons for that at this point in your life. Just talk amongst yourselves at the table. Have any two of you, just wondering, any two of you on the tables, ring the same ones, or has everyone ring different ones? Certainly on my table we've all ringed the same one. Okay, right. So we've got these list of things that describe Jesus, that describes love, that describes what God wants us to be like. A few of them we're okay on. A few more, we're just nothing like that. There's perhaps one now we've ringed, so a bite-sized chunk of just making a step towards being more like Jesus in our lives. Here's one that's particularly difficult. So what can be done about it? What can we do about it? Well, here are four alternatives that I think are quite common. Well, I just feel guilty. Because I'm such a rubbish Christian. You know, sometimes we feel like that. We look at a list like that, we see how different we are from Jesus, how far away we are, and I just feel guilty or just rubbish. I'm just a hopeless case. That is a response to this that a lot of people have. Or a second response, oh well, that's just the way I'm put together. It's my personality type. That'd be a really good one, wouldn't it? Is not easily angered. It's just the way I am. It's the way God made me. That is a response, isn't it? I'm not saying it's a good one or the right one, but it is a response. I'm never going to change. So what's the point in trying? You ever thought that? I'm never going to manage it. So what's the point? Just think about the one you've ringed. In the list for yourself. I'm never going to manage to overcome that one. I'm never going to change that one. What's the point of trying? Or, well, I keep trying and I keep failing. Now, if we start responding to it like that, and I think, wouldn't I be right in saying that all of us have thought that at some point? I'm never going to be like Jesus. I'm a rubbish Christian. I just can't get it right. It's never going to happen. Haven't we all thought that? Just nod if you're alive. Well, you know as well as I do that the result of that is just feeling guilty or just feeling discouraged, isn't it? That doesn't make us want to climb higher, to walk taller, to go for it, does it? Paul goes on to say this. He says this in verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. What that tells me when I read that is that we're on a spiritual journey. That we don't jump from not looking like Jesus to the next week looking like Jesus. We're on a journey, and that journey one day will lead us all of us who believe, without exception, even if you're just a half tick merchant on one of those things on that list, you as well as the person who ticked 9 on that list, all of us one day will come into the presence of God. And at that point, all those boxes will be ticked. We will be complete because we'll be in a place where there is no sin to get in the way. But as we all know, we're not there yet. So we're on a journey. If you like, we're living in the in-between times of Jesus coming and and showing us how God made us to be, and giving his Holy Spirit and his word to help us to become that, but we're not in the finished article. I once saw a t-shirt at a Christian thing, and it said, perfect man under construction. I was tempted to get a t-shirt that said, be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet. We're on a journey. One day he will finish with me. Isn't that wonderful? That certainty in my future and your future. One day we will be like Jesus because we'll be next to him. Fantastic, fantastic hope that we've all got. But what do we do now? What can we do? In Philippians, Paul writes this: not that I've already obtained all this, or that I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's kind of Paul saying the same thing, but much better than I just did. So we need to make a plan, don't we? We need to make a God-centered, God-orientated, God-empowered plan in our lives that as we go on this journey, how do we get from ticking hardly any of those boxes to beginning to, even if there are only half ticks like mine, getting more ticks. How do we do that? Okay. Well, I've given you a list of things that I don't think help. So feeling guilty because you're such a rubbish Christian and haven't ticked enough boxes, no good. Just the way I'm put together, it's my personality type, cop out. I'm never going to change, so what's the point of trying? I've tried but can't seem to manage it. Let's forget all those because they're no good. So now what I want you to do as tables is to make a plan of attack. How are you going to get through? I mean, start with the ones that you've put the ring round. Okay. How is it then that God wants us to get from there further on the journey, maybe to being able to put a tick by that area that we've said is really hard? Have a look, and then I want each table to choose a spokesperson, okay, so that we can put together some kind of a plan of attack of how, with all this knowledge in this room, all these different relationships with Jesus, you know, I reckon that God could speak to us and through us, and we could come up with something really quite cool and quite helpful and quite practical. And each table could add a bit more to that picture, that answer, so that the sum of what us, you know, we must be 150 people, all open to God, all wanting to move on, waiting for his Spirit to come and speak to us. That's quite a powerful image, you know. So, 5 minutes, talk about it, grapple with it. If you want, you do have Bob's helpful verses. Oh, yes. I think it's on the back of your sheet. You'll find a list of Bob's helpful verses. Well, they were helpful to me. They might not be helpful to you at all. So these are Bob's helpful verses for Bob. But they go through a progression of how I think I might move on in my own life. But come up with your own verses. There are lots of verses in the Bible of how we can move on in God. It's what the Bible's about. Okay, so 5 minutes to make your plan of how you think you can move that thing with a ring around it to a thing with a tick.
I'm just going to give you one more minute. This is your minute warning for discussion time. And then a couple of tables, you might want to think about whether you want to come up and share something that you've discussed. Okay, if we could wrap up our discussions, please. I will start using my famous teacher stare, so if you could stop, please. Poor Welsh. We are running out of time, and we've got to clear this room and move it all into the back room. So Bob did say about having a spokesperson from each table and counting the number of tables. We might be here a little while if everybody came up and shared their ideas. If any tables have had a particularly good discussion and there's something they, some tips or an action plan that they would really like to share, then now is the time to come up. And if you want to take notes, because you can take the sheets home, if you find anything that somebody shares particularly helpful, you might want to jot it down on the sheet maybe, or then you can take it home and think about it further. Does anybody want to be brave and come up and... Oh, yes. Go on, Holly.
We came up with RAP, which is R for realise, realising that we can't do things for ourselves, but only through Christ, which is a verse, but we couldn't remember which one. So realising that we need God's help and we can't do it by ourselves. And then A for admit, admit that it starts with God and he knows how you're going to get to that place. And then P for pray, and yeah, so praying for the Spirit, because all of these things also sound like things, the fruits of the Spirit, so asking him to give you supernatural power to get to that place. Yeah.
Anybody brave enough to follow that?
Sorry, it's just a quickie. I feel a bit of a cheat because I wasn't actually on the table. I was sitting at the back. But it's just the verse, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And I think we're only set free to love when we are sure of God's love for us in Christ, and that we don't have to prove anything, that we don't have to achieve anything, that ultimately that love is enough. And then that releases us from self-seeking and from... having to be loved, because we know we are loved by God, and all other loves are secondary to that. So, yeah, that was all.